Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen.
Well, it's been a very, very eventful holiday for us. This time we were obviously went to a place called Gozo, which was one of the Maltese islands. And the last time we were there was on our honeymoon 27 years ago. But it was not like a holiday that we expected. And several things happened to us, or to me, from being knocked down by a wave. It was a stormy day, obviously sunshine, but there was quite a rough sea, and Helena wouldn't allow me to go and swim, so I had to go and play in the water instead. But in the playing in the water, one of the waves came, and it was pretty strong, and it knocked me off my feet. And, you know, unfortunately, the ground was not flat, or it wasn't concrete. It was quite a lot of rock, sharp rock, and so my whole arm has been grazed, and my elbow, and my knees, and my back. I couldn't swim for the rest of the holiday. And now, you know, it's an island, and what you do on an island is swim. So that was one of the things that we did. But the other thing that I lost my reading glasses as well, so I couldn't read my book. So I had to do Sudokus all the time. But, you know, the other thing then was that on Thursday, I just went for a casual walk. It was a calm day. And next minute, I don't know what happened, but I knocked myself out. Obviously must have got concussion, because I actually don't remember what happened. And it's a great excuse now that any time that Helena asks me to do something, I can say, oh, what did you say? I've forgotten about that. That's a great excuse. But no, actually, I can't remember. Obviously, I got a little bump on my head. It was a little bit bigger before, but I don't know. And, you know, you trying to, in your brain, in your imagination, you're saying, okay, what actually happened? And I honestly do not remember. But it sort of got me to sort of think a little bit about how often do we get into situations and circumstances where we just forget who God is. You know, that we get ourselves into a financial situation and we suddenly we just get a block. And instead of looking about how great our God is and how amazing he is, it's just this block. How do we get this ourselves out of this situation? A healing or some other situation within a family. How on earth are we going to get this thing through? Now, my understanding last week that Pastor Gary brought a great word on hope. Hope in different situations and circumstances. And I'd like to read a few scriptures from Hebrews. I hope I can read it. I've got the good light. There you go, light. I have got my glasses on order. But in Hebrews, which is the scripture readings that we have together as Horsham churches, the churches, Kingdom Faith churches in Horsham, Crawley, Worthing and London. We're reading through this together. And I just love these verses. And then I want to take us to Isaiah chapter 6 as well. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, who we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. But we are his house, if we indeed hold firmly in our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Now, I don't know what scripture that Gary used last week, but obviously for me, hope is something that we can really need to hold on to. I'm amazed that I've been, obviously, Faith Camp, and for me, the message that Andy brought on the Wednesday morning, was it Thursday morning? He spoke on the awe of God, and it's something that I've been working in God's been working in me since March, when I read a book by a guy called Paul Tripp called Just Awe. I actually saw it in your shop first, the CLC bookshop. And I just saw this book called Awe. And unfortunately, I didn't buy it there. I went to Amazon. But it was a book that just sort of, again, sets out in different scenarios how so easily we lose focus of God in different areas of our life. You know, over this last 10 days, with all sorts of things going on, with my losing of my sunglasses, my losing of my reading glasses, the damage to myself, this knockout blow. I was actually sick one day as well. It was just one thing after another. And, you know, it's so easy that you could get sidetracked and to lose sight of who God is in all of those sort of situations and circumstances. Now, obviously, you've got to fight. You've got to rise up and you've got to fight these things. And sometimes, you know, fighting just takes not just one round. It sometimes takes a few rounds that you've got to go to battle for. And, you know, we just need to understand some of these things, some of these dynamics. But this word awe in this book by Paul Tripp, it's just great because it takes you through, say, a family situation where things have happened in a family and suddenly, you know, you lose sight because the situation, that the thing is so big in itself, that you lose sight of the greatness of our God within it. And Andy Elms at Faith Camp brought that word about awe. And then, you know, obviously Karen Wheaton began to talk about the encounter of God, you know, and then the not letting go of the prayer until you see the answer, that word until. And it's amazing because I listened to another camp message, somebody who is a pastor of ours from Horsham, actually, not Kingdom Faith Horsham, but from another church in Horsham, and they posted something about another camp. And there's a gentleman called Francis Chan, and again, somebody I've read some of his books and would recommend reading his material. He's a Chinese man, but based in the States now. And he just did this one session on Wednesday of the camp, and I think it was a very similar time to Faith Camp, and that was up in Norfolk. And guess what he was speaking about? The awe of God. That he spoke about the God capturing your mind again. And he actually spoke from the Isaiah scripture where when Isaiah saw the Lord, if we want to turn there, because I'd just like to read it. Because sometimes I think, as he keeps saying, Francis Chan, in his message, it's just sometimes you lose sight of how great our God is. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, Francis Chan, in his message, just said, close your eyes. Please, close your eyes. Just imagine in this room now these things. That he is seated on a throne. Just picture him in the way that you can picture God now. And his train of his robe fills this place. Above him was seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. Why? Because they couldn't look on the glory of God. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah cried, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he has taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah's response was, "Here am I, send me." I just want you to picture, keep your eyes closed, that the Lord, in this room, or the biggest room that you can imagine that you've ever been into, and there's a throne room, and the train fills that place. These two seraphim, either side, covering their faces and their feet with their wings, and then with the other two they are flying, but crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." I just really believe God saying, "Why do you doubt me? Why do you doubt who I am in your situation and circumstance? This is who I am." Like Isaiah saw this picture of me in my throne room. This is your God. This is your God. Not something to trifle with. Not somebody that you can organize your life around. But I am God. In your family, I am God. In your finances, I am God. In the workplace, I am God Almighty. And I want you to remember how great I am. In every situation that I take you and I send you into, as you respond to me saying, "Yes, I'm willing to go," then through that act of obedience, I will give you the words to say, I will give you the words in each and every situation. Because I want to glorify myself through you. And last night, if you want to open your eyes, last night, again, I had a couple of minutes where I just flicked something on God Channel. And they had a conference. They have some great titles of conferences, but they had a conference called Desperation Conference. And I honestly can't even remember who spoke at this conference, but he was talking for one moment about worship. And he just said that you don't worship musicians, you don't worship the worship. You must remember who it is that you're worshipping. And when you know who you're worshipping, the person that you're worshipping does not change. And it was going on to saying, and again, it's things that we've heard from different voices from here over these last weeks, that, you know, that there is out there in the world, there is a real pressure to bring God down to a level that is very PC, politically correct. Helena has been reading quite a lot of articles about transgender, and there was a situation that she read to me about, because I couldn't read myself, but she talked about a family, I think was in this country. Do you want to just quickly...
Yeah, it was just an article about, it was the first family in the UK who are the first, what they're calling, gender fluid family. And so the biological mother of this child, who I think is just about to start school, so it's 4.5, 5, the biological mother is now a man. And the child calls the biological mother dad. And the biological father is sometimes a man and sometimes a woman. But the child calls the mum, or I can't remember which one it is, mum. So it's the complete opposite to what, if you like, they fathered and mothered this child. And they are bringing this child up. And the school has been very supportive, apparently, about they're bringing this child up to be gender fluid. So it's up to the child. Although he was born a boy, sometimes he wears girls' clothes, sometimes he wears boys' clothes. And they're letting him decide who he is. If he is a he or if he is a she. And it was just quite a confusing story. And it's the first family that is what they're...
But both this gentleman last night, what we were hearing from Andy Elms, Karen Wheaton, Pastor Colin Clive, all of us have been talking constantly about keeping God in that rightful place where he doesn't change. And we are now in a situation, and it's changing, seems to be like daily. Things are being watered down. Things are changing. The church is becoming real pressurized to adopt the things of the world. Whereas God says, no, my kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It's not something that's changing. God's plan from the beginning of time was for his kingdom to be eternal. And we're part of that eternal kingdom. And in that eternal kingdom, that's not changing with the time frame that is going on in this history and this part that we're living in this history. God is the Alpha, God is the Omega, he's the beginning and the end. And somewhere, we think, towards the end of time, we're here. But, you know, back 2,000 years ago, they thought it was near the end of time too. But at the end, but for them, you've got to live as it is for today. And Francis Chan in particular, and we were hearing this from Andy Elms and others, is that today we've got to live as this is the very most important day of our lives. We can't live for 10 years down the road. You know, this accident of mine, it could have been worse. Praise God it wasn't. I'm still on my 2 feet, but it could have been worse. And you never know what is going to happen. But I'm not here to put fear into any one of us. I'm just expressing the importance of today in God's calendar. That just like we read in that scripture in Hebrews, it says, Jesus being found worthy of grace, Moses, just as the builder of the house, has greater honor than himself. Every house is built by someone, but God is building of everything, which is we agree on. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house. Now, I believe God's asking me, I don't know about you, I'm just letting you all into what my journey is. You know, am I faithful? Am I faithful in my journey with God? Jesus was faithful 100% to what the Father was asking of him. 100%. And Moses, from this scripture, was very, very obedient to what he was asked to do. And we all know that there was a moment in time where Moses made a mistake, and because of that mistake, he wasn't able to go into the promised land, and he had to look at it from a distance. But in that journey and that time frame that he lived in, he was faithful. Even when he made that mistake, he was still faithful for the rest of that time, leading the children of Israel to that place where Moses then could take over, giving that instruction, giving that leadership. And, you know, faithfulness for me is one of those big things that I believe God is wanting to speak over every one of us. That we're faithful to one another, faithful to God first and foremost, but faithful to one another, our husbands, our wives, our families. But we're faithful to one another here, in the community or the bigger family, the wider family that God has brought us into. You know, we know that the enemy is wanting to come and bring all sorts of different things, deceptions in, and I believe that's why the message that God is putting on the hearts of so many people at this time is, guys, get back to who I am. Remind yourself of how great I am, who your God is, so that you do not bring God down to a level that is not factual. I mean, you heard me talk about fake news. There are so much fake news out there. Not just in the American media and the British media, but certainly to do with Israel. But one of the things that, you know, we know is that the enemy is trying to undermine our Christian traditions, even in this country. In our schooling, still undermining those things, where we're going to have to teach our children different things these days. Whereas I just believe God wants to and is reminding everybody, and every voice I'm hearing from these other big camps that are going on, coming from this American conference that's just taken place, several other things that I'm picking up, it all points that the Holy Spirit of God, is calling people, saying, look, my kingdom is this. My kingdom hasn't changed. Your world systems are changing, and your world governments are bringing down and creating laws and bringing such confusion. And bless that little boy, 4 and a half. He is probably so confused with that gender identity crisis that is now within his home, thinking that it's the normal thing, but that's not normal. God's kingdom That's what we've got to be fighting for. And as the church, as individuals and as the church, we've got to understand and continue to remind ourselves of what that kingdom looks like. Who he is, who God is, who the person we serve is. I mean, again, Francis Chan sort of said, how, you know, when you get a whole picture of God, when Moses met with God and he was put into a cleft of the rock because he couldn't see his, you know, God's face. When you had Paul in the New Testament who was on his way to Damascus and this bright light came, whatever that looked like. And, you know, Lord, Lord, because he knew who immediately it was. And obviously Paul got blinded. But then in that conversion process, but there was an encounter with God. Abraham had encounter with God. Other men, women had encounter with God right from Genesis right through to Revelation. And it's like sometimes when we even pray, who are we praying to? Are we praying to a God that is so small, or are we praying to God Almighty and therefore expectation and therefore our approach to him when we come to our prayer room is very different from that casual, oh God, if you know, if you want to do it, or que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Actually, this is God Almighty that we're talking to. And when Isaiah came and when he was confronted with this vision in Isaiah chapter 6, it was just like, whew, God, I'm seeing you and therefore I'm unholy and therefore I'm going to die. That was Isaiah's immediate answer. But praise God for the touch of the lip. And what it said there was God cleansed and forgave. And we praise God today that even though we make mistake after mistake after mistake, we have one called Jesus Christ who can come and stand in the gap for us. And we can say, yes, thank you, Father. These things are so, so important, but we can't miss these things in the journey that God has us on. And, you know, for me, this is not just about kingdom faith here. This is about the church around the world that is coming under, in a sense, humanistic attack. Humanists are getting into a lot of areas of government and laws, and they're trying to undermine so many different things at this moment in time. And I believe God is saying to the church worldwide, guys, remember who your God is. Who you are coming to pray to, remember those things. I'm not just a puny little God that is made in your image. I'm God Almighty that was and is to come. I'm the God who can bring change and dynamics and transformations. I'm the God that can bring governments down. I'm the God that can actually bring salvation to a loved one. I'm the one that can bring healing into that situation or circumstance. I'm God Almighty. And I want my church, and I believe this is what God is saying, not just through me, but you listen. You put your spiritual antennae up. You begin to listen to different things and what other men of God are saying right round the world. They're saying very, very similar things. Place God back on the throne. We're in a fight. We're in a war. And it's not something that we need to be fearful of. Because that's not part of the kingdom that God wants me to have. God wants me to have a kingdom that is full of joy, full of peace. And if you read towards the end, I love these verses in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. Part of me just wants to read the whole thing out. I might just read it all out, actually, because it's just good. So then verse 12 from chapter 3. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have had a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Again, it's just something that, Lord, when you read those sort of things, it's like making sure, Lord, just ensure that doesn't happen to me. Lord, I don't want to have an unbelieving heart in anything that you say to me. I don't want an unbelieving heart there. If you're saying something, I want to believe it. I want to take hold of that. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. So let none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, I've got to be honest, last week, it wasn't my most glorious week. And Helena often had to come and give me a good kick up the backside. But that's why we need one another. That's why, you know, but encourage one another daily. Why? Because we're going to need it daily.
Yeah.
It's not something that, you know, okay, guys, I'm going to encourage Martin. Probably on the 12th of January 2019. No, it's daily. We need to encourage him. So that kitchen is going to be finished. It will be finished. But England have won the test match. Today, so that none of you have hardened your heart. So we need to take these verses. Today, encourage one another.
Yes.
So that means that as a family, individually, but also corporately, and the people who are on holiday from us, you know, today. You know, we know Jack and Helen and Raquel are up north. And then we've got Claire and Tom in Durham, I believe they are. We've got Hannah and Sam in Lincoln. And probably all sorts of other people all over the place. Ruth, I'm not sure where Ruth is. Horsham. Oh, she's in Horsham. But again, it's just like, no, today let none of you be maybe hardened by sin. So that's where we check it with one another. If somebody, we see somebody who's not walking in the truth, then we need to remind them what is the truth. Again, this is not criticism. It's not condemning. It's not pointing a finger. It's encouraging. Is that the truth? You know, is that what God says? And to put that question to them, it just, actually, no, that's not what God says about this, is it? God says something very different. But that's why we need to be encouraging one another. We have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold, listen to this. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original convictions firmly to the very end. Now, you know, our original conviction is that God is God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us as a sinner. Now, that's our original conviction. Now, we know that in our journey, we will learn because we are being discipled. And so, therefore, we are going to grow in maturity. We're going to learn to understand God in greater ways, in greater knowledge, in greater understanding. However, our conviction of who God is, firmly, we hold to our original conviction firmly to the very end.
Yes.
God is God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to die and to set me free from the sin and death that the prince of this world wants me to enter into. The prince of this world has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come to set me free. These are the original convictions that don't change.
Yeah.
From Genesis right through to Revelation, they do not change. They're in the Word of God. they are consistent. They are part of kingdom thinking, kingdom mindset. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the same God today as he always has been. Those are the convictions that we do not change. But I trust that each and every one of us is growing in maturing, etc., etc. So it's just making sure that you understand those are the original convictions that we hold on to. But we are learning, and therefore we are growing, and we are allowing the Holy Spirit to then cut off anything that is not bearing fruit in our lives. Those are not the original convictions. The original conviction is all about God. And God does not change. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt, with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter the rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that we were not able to enter because of God's, because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to fall short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. So faith is so, so important to this journey of faith, this journey that we're on. Faith in God and what he says. Every day needs to be one of faith. Because in the Hebrews it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to please God, so I need to be faithful so that I please him. I don't want to not please him. So those things. All this is good. And now we who have believed enter the rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did, when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's come about so many times, hasn't it? That we've just read in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. People, me, you guys, please, let's take that seriously. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For everyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. So rest is peace. If you look through this, obviously there's several other things. But when you are at rest, there is a peace. You're not striving. You're not working to achieve something. You're allowing God to bring that peace in our hearts and lives, knowing, no, God, you've spoken about that. I'm at rest in my family, in my health, in my finances, in my job, in my kitchen. I'm at rest. I'm at peace. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Again, all of this is in line with what we've just read regarding, you know, Jesus being faithful to the work of the Father. We've been reading about the Sabbath rest. All this comes in the same scriptures about the power of the Word of God, that the Word brings division of soul and spirit. It shows the thoughts of our hearts and our minds. That's why it's so important for us, like I believe the church in this whole, actually not just UK, the whole world, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing. Guys, there is something that's about to happen in our nations that are going to try to undermine our Christian values again and again and again, and it's already begun. And I believe God's saying, who's going to stay strong? Who's going to be there who is not going to bow the knee? We spoke about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, where that false god, Nebuchadnezzar, built that statue, didn't we? And they refused to bow the knee, and God came. And I honestly believe that, you know, when God starts to speak messages like this, not just through me, through many, many different voices, about how we need to keep God's perspective right in every situation, circumstance, having our hope in him, not our hope in circumstances and in people, our hopes in him. When we understand these things, I believe that the word is going to divide soul and spirit in a greater way than ever before. I believe that as a church in London, whoever speaks from here needs to be preaching the word of God and nothing else. Obviously, you know, people can adapt those things, and it's great to have the different personalities and those coming through, some with humor, some more serious, some with PowerPoints and presentations, others not. But what's important is that we allow the Word of God to be active in our lives, so that it's very, very clear, dividing the soul and the spirit man in me and in us, that we understand that all of these things are there for us to grow, so that we can become the people that God wants us to become. Then it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Again, this for me is all about what God is doing, that we need to understand who our God is, so that we hold on to who he is. Not to an image of, you know, sometimes in these Star Trek wars and these movies, sometimes you can see an image, a flickering image of something, you know, where somebody is trying to beam me up or whatever. And it's like an outline, it's an image of. But no, this is firmly, we've got something that we're holding on to. And that's Jesus Christ, that's God Almighty. That he's not budging, he's not changing. Other things might change around us. Other people, other religious people may speak something different. But that's where we need to be people who sort of saying, okay, what does God say? What has God said? He doesn't change. He's not changed from the first century to the 21st century. He's not. He's the same God today as he always has, and he's not changed his mind about some of the things that he has spoken. And therefore, as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we must hold firmly to these things. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is being tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Let's please stand. Thank you, Father. Just take a moment. because I believe that God has said something to every one of us. It may be in a word of encouragement. That, well done, you're standing firm in that particular situation, that particular challenge that you're facing, you're standing strong. Well done. God may have encouraged you in different ways. I believe God sometimes even thanks us, because he thanks me from time to time. It's not every day I hear a thank you, son. But the times that God does say thank you for standing up for me, standing up for truth. For others, it may just have been a reminder. God wants to remind you who he is. And for others, that he wants to remind you that you're bigger, you're part of something that is millions of people. You're part of something that millions of people around this globe is hearing. That I'm a God that does not change. I'm the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My kingdom does not change like governments, like opinions. Whatever the wind blows, our God does not change his mind. His kingdom is secure. And he wants to remind each and every one of us that that is the sure and certainty that we can stand firmly on who he is, the rock of our salvation. No matter what is going on in our lives today. So Father, I just ask you for myself. I only can pray for myself. Lord, that I do not harden my own heart like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. But Lord, I ask you that you'll keep my heart open to your Spirit, leading and guiding me into all truth. Father, I don't want to be in a place of deception in any area of my life. Lord, I want your word to divide that what is pure spirit and what is, Father, of my flesh. Father, you say that your word does those things. My thoughts, my heart. And Father, I just ask you that you'll continue to do that work in my own heart and life. And Father, for the church, right across London, or Lord, across Italy, in Spain, Father, particularly Spain, Father, I just lift up the church in that nation, in Barcelona in particular, or Lord, and in other parts of Spain, that they will stay true to who you are, that they will proclaim the name of Jesus Christ loudly today. Father, Lord, in a situation, a tragic situation, Father, Lord, we just know that you, oh Lord, are wanting to raise your kingdom, oh Lord, in that place, in the lives of people. Father, Lord, where life sometimes is so fragile, we'll never know when, Father, our moment happens, that time comes. Father, Lord, we want to live for today. We want to live for you today. And Father, I just ask you that the church in Spain will make the most of that opportunity today, out of that tragedy, that you will turn things around, that you will comfort those who mourn. Father, Lord, that you'll be with those who are in hospital, the families, And Father, Lord, that you will just awaken that church in that nation. Oh, Lord, that evangelical church in that city. Father, Lord, in another part of Spain. But Lord, I just pray that as the church in this nation and beyond, that we will come again around your program. Jesus, you had a and could only do what the Father told you to do. And so, Father, I just ask you that we, as your people here in London, will do only what you tell us to do. It's your house. You're the architect. You're the builder of everything. And Father, we trust you. We trust you.
Yeah, the Lord's just been speaking to me throughout the whole service, really. And I just felt that this word really fitted in with what Jonathan has been sharing this morning. Such an important word. The Lord was saying, I am Almighty God. I have my plans and my purposes for your lives and for this church here in this city. Behold, I make all things new. And just I had a picture of the Lord sweeping away all sorts of things. And I just felt the Lord was saying, I am sweeping out the cobwebs from your lives. I'm sweeping away old things. Things that are no longer necessary in your lives. I am sweeping away those things to create space for new things. I'm sweeping away old ways and old ideas from your lives. I'm sweeping away these things from your lives. I'm clearing out the clutter. I'm sweeping them away from your lives. I'm clearing out the clutter. I'm sweeping these things away. I'm creating new things for you in your lives. I'm sweeping out the old and bringing new. Hallelujah. I'm sweeping away the dust of religion so that you're ready to move with me for the glory of my name. Nothing can stop my plans. No one can stop my purposes. I am able to do all things. In the church, in this nation, in this city, I am able to do all things. Nothing is impossible for me to do. I can change every situation in your lives, in the church, in this nation. Everything is able to be changed by my power and my might. I am able to do all things. I will keep sweeping, cleaning out all the clutter so that you are able to move in my mighty power and accomplish great things to the glory of my name. Amen.
We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.kingdomfaithlondon.com.